Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have a great show in store for you today. We have a great guest, Ari Weinzweig. He is the CEO and co-founding partner of Zingerman's Community of Businesses, which includes Zingerman's Delicatessen, Bakehouse, Creamery, Catering, Mail Order, Zing Train, Coffee Company, Roadhouse, Candy Manufactory, and the newest business, Cornman's Farms. Zingerman's produces and sells all sorts of full-flavored traditional foods in its home of Ann Arbor, Michigan, to the tune of $60 million in annual sales a year. It is pretty amazing. They've received many awards. There's many best-selling books. One of my personal favorites was the Zingerman's Guide to Great Service. And it is my pleasure today to introduce to you Ari.
How are you?
I am great. Welcome. And thanks for being on our show today.
Thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
Great. Well, why don't you just take a moment and sort of, that was a great bio, but just tell us a little bit about Zingerman's, a little bit about more about yourself, and just fill in some of the gaps there from that bio.
I guess it's easiest. I'll just start with my story. So I grew up in Chicago. I came up to Ann Arbor to go to school at U of M at University of Michigan. I studied Russian history, as you know, and I had a particular focus, as you also know, I think, on the anarchists. And after I graduated, I mostly just was clear I didn't want to move back home. And in order to do that, I needed a job. I had driven a cab while I was in school, which was not the most rewarding work. And one of my roommates was waiting tables at a restaurant in downtown Ann Arbor that's not there anymore. And so I decided I'd go in there and try to get a job waiting tables. And they told me they would call me if something opened, which it didn't. And after 4 weeks of waiting, I went back and offered to do anything and in my desire to pay my rent. And they suggested I wash dishes, and I said, sure, I'll wash dishes, and that's how I got started. So I had no childhood fantasies of being in business. And in fact, I had very negative beliefs about business growing up, and I had really no particular interest in food other than the normal human desire to eat. But I just really got lucky by stumbling into work I love and also great people. So my partner, Paul Saginaw, was the general manager at that restaurant. That's how we met. Frank Carollo, who's one of the partners in our bakery, was a line cook. And Maggie Bayless, who's the partner in Zing Train, our training business, was a cocktail waitress. So we all worked together there. And I started to prep and line cook and manage kitchens, worked for that group, restaurant group, for about 4 years, left there in the fall of 81, not really sure what I would do next, but it was just increasingly clear to me that my views on people management and on food quality were not really going to the same place theirs were. And Paul called me. He had left a few years earlier and opened a really fabulous little fish market in town, and we'd been friends for a long time. And he called me like 2 or 3 days after I'd given notice, and he said that there was a little building coming open near the fish market that we ought to check out together. And he had grown up in Detroit, where you could always get good deli food, and in Chicago you could get it, but you couldn't get it here. So that was where our conversations focused, and we decided to open the deli, and 4.5 months later we did. So March 15th, 82 was our first day in business. We just had our 34th anniversary, whatever, a week ago. And we started with 1,300 square feet, me and Paul plus 2 employees, 29 seats, some sandwiches, some smoked fish, some bread from other bakeries because we didn't have our own, and, you know, some olive oil, some salami, charcuterie, that sort of stuff. And then fast forwarding, as per what you said in the intro, today we have about 700 people working in the organization. We'll do about $60 million in sales this year.
That is truly incredible, and it's really impressive. And I know that people here in Ann Arbor, I'm actually from the area, are very familiar with Zingerman's and how wonderful it is. But this is really spread in a across the country, and people from all over seek you guys out. So would you like to just share a little bit about that? Because I think it's so impressive.
Well, our vision, as you know, I mean, is that we only do things here in the Ann Arbor area. So all of our businesses and all those people that I mentioned are all working, you know, within 15 minutes of each other here in town. But our reputation, as you said, you know, has gone in a good way, far and wide. And we get so Zing Train is our training business, and we do training seminars, and we get people literally from all over the world, certainly regularly from all over the country. For those, because our training really isn't food service specific. It's just general stuff about our approaches to leadership, customer service, as you mentioned earlier, our approach to visioning, open book management, personal self-management, all that sort of stuff. And then through that work also, we travel around the country, and then actually around the world. I'm speaking in Slovakia again in May. I spoke in Ethiopia last spring, teaching our approaches to people overseas. And then also through, obviously, the mail order, we ship our food all over the country.
That's awesome. So share with us a little bit on how this business has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, I mean, I don't really look at the, you know, people talk a lot about work-life balance, and I have a lot of beliefs that sort of run counter to that. Not that you shouldn't have a good life outside of work, but I always have felt like the work-life balance model is sort of doomed to failure, because you're trying to set one against the other instead of looking at it like I do, which is that it's all one life. And I want to make every part of my life great, and I want to have each part of it support and enhance the other parts, right? So, being able to make the most of every moment, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home, whether I'm with my girlfriend, whether I'm on my own, is really what it's about. And I think that the more each of us is living our values, you know, throughout our entire day, our entire week, our entire lives, the more rewarding our lives are going to be. So that's really, for me, what it's about. So Zingerman's, you know, obviously it's a collaborative effort, because there's 700 people involved, and, you know, Paul and I are different people, and all the partners are different people. But, you know, when I leave work and come home, or come from work to, from home to work, I'm not a different person. I mean, I'm working hard at everything I do, whether it's my relationship with my girlfriend, or, you know, being attentive to friends, or being a good listener with people that I care about outside of work is no different than being a good listener at work.
That's certainly is true. And I would say that for most people, when the two, like you said, there isn't this sort of, you know, balance and trying to give each one of them different attention. I think it's when you love what you do, it just sort of bleeds out into everything and who you are. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely agree. And a lot of the approaches that we've developed and or adapted over the years in our training internally and then through Zing Train, I really have come to believe and written about in the subsequent parts of the business book series a lot about this, but they're very aligned, I believe, with human nature. And so, you know, the things that we're teaching the people who work in the organization about how to work more effectively are 100% applicable at home, right? So you mentioned the great service, you know, people, when we teach people internally how to handle a customer complaint with dignity and respect and with a highly effective technique, inevitably, we all start using it at home too, because the point is not to be right. It's to get to agreement and create win-win, you know, outcomes, right? When we teach people about energy management and how to manage their energy at work so that they're bringing positive energy to every interaction, of course you take it home. And, you know, as you know from having kids, I mean, they pick up on your energy faster than anything, right? So
absolutely,
the better we teach people in our organization how to manage their energy, the better their relationships go at home. When they feel better at home, it's much easier to start your day at work in a better way, right? So it creates this holistically sound ecosystem instead of what is happening most places, which is people are exhausted when they leave work emotionally. Then they come home and take it out on their family, intentionally or not, and then things don't go well at home, and then they don't have much energy left when they come to work the next day. So it's actually the opposite of sustainable in most settings.
Great. So share with us then what you think are a couple of your really good skill sets that have helped contribute to your overall success in business.
Well, I guess I would say almost everything that I do well, almost all of it is mostly learned behavior as an adult. So I'm a total shy introvert. I don't like groups. I would never have imagined I'd be speaking in public. You know, I've speak now regularly to 300, 500, 1,000 people. So it's really, I guess the core skill was just learning that I could learn anything if I really worked at it. And so being willing to stick with something over a period of years and, learning and having it reinforced over time that it takes a long time to learn something and get good at it. And once one understands that and makes peace with that, it's a lot less stressful. You know, we're trained in society that you're supposed to be a natural. And if you're not a natural, you're not good at it. You're not going to get good at it. But I think it's actually the other way, which is almost everything that we're good at, we've worked at a long time. So, when I meet people or have friends who are musicians, almost every single time, it turns out they've been, their family were musicians, or they started playing music at the age of 5, or they were writing songs at the age of 14. So by the time they're 24, they have 10 or 15 years, literally, of 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 hours a week of playing music. So, the world perceives them as, young phenoms, but the truth is they've been working at it a long time. With all due respect to my family, who were loving good people, but if you grow up in a dysfunctional family and then you want to learn functional communication, it takes a long time to relearn it.
Absolutely. Also, I think that just by reading the books, you're pretty good about systems, and that everybody sort of knows the expectation. Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, just from what I've read, that is probably clearly a really good skill set, that you've been able to articulate some of those systems. And then people learn that. So it kind of goes with what you're saying, but I do think that, yep, I personally think systems are important. And even when I was reading the book the second time around, I started seeing things that I need to be better about in, yep, as far as systems go. So,
well, the systems support the culture, and the culture enhances the system. So they play together. So, and what happens for a lot of us, when we start a business, as many, I'm sure, of your listeners have done, then it's small. You're doing almost everything yourself. What you're not doing yourself, you're standing right there, physically, or at least online. So you're pretty up to speed on all the details of what's happening. And that allows us, in a good way, we can get away with basically just doing it. The problem is, there's an essay in part one of the business book, which you referenced, which is called 12 Natural Laws of Business. The ninth natural law of business is that success means you get better problems. So we get a good problem, which is we're successful and we grow. And all of a sudden, instead of one or two employees, we have 10 or 20 or 50 or 80 or more. And all of a sudden, you can't just do it. And they need a lot more structure and support. So leaving a 25-year-old to do some studying at home on their own might make sense. But if you have an 8-year-old, you don't want to really wait till the end of the school year to see if they're going to do any homework. And it doesn't mean you have to have your finger on every tiny thing, but they're going to benefit from some rigor and some self learning, some self management skills. And it's the same at work. So as we've grown, we've tried to pull out of our heads what we were doing unconsciously and put it into teachable recipes. And Zing Train has really helped us with that, because Maggie Bayless, the partner in there, her passion is training. And so she's infused, both culturally and structurally, way more attention to training systems and training effectiveness than we would ever have probably come up with on our own.
That's great. So share with us an obstacle or a challenge, some might even say a failure, but and how you worked through that, and so mm-hmm. that we can have some learning experiences from that.
Well, I focus really much more on, I don't really focus a lot on big failures and big successes. I think the key is really understanding that life is filled with tiny successes and tiny failures. And the ones that the press writes up or that make the headlines or make history books are really a culmination of many months, years, or whatever, a problem. So, when there's a natural cataclysm like a hurricane or a typhoon or whatever, that's something that's completely out of our control and we might not have known it was coming. But the other stuff, is not like that. I mean, it's, when our customer service is falling off, it's not an overnight, one day it was great and the next day it was terrible. It's dropping from eights and nines to sevens and eights, and then a few nines, and then sixes and sevens. And all of a sudden, in quotes, over 3 years, you've lost a lot of customer loyalty. So you know, I'm much more focused in terms of failures on, you know, did we greet the guest with the right level of enthusiasm? Was the salt level right on the fish today? You know, are the windows clean? I mean, it's little things, but those are really the things that I think make for a healthy organization.
Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, it's all about, I mean, I think life is about learning to be ourselves and do it in a way that's respectful of the people and the world around us. And this is a lot of the writing in the business books, especially part three, which is on managing ourselves, is kind of all about it. And then the next book will be part four, which will be on the power of beliefs in business and starting to come to terms with the many beliefs we have about ourselves, about the world, about other people, about our significant others, our work partners, because those beliefs I've come to realize, and I certainly didn't make it up, but I wasn't paying much attention to it either until the last few years. Those beliefs are driving most of our behavior, and they're driving most of the reality that we create around us. So I'm not blaming, you know, people who are victims of racism for racism, but the point is, we can change our beliefs and change the outcomes that we get, even though we can't change other people. We can change the way we respond to their behaviors and stuff. So I guess for me, it just means being myself and respecting and honoring the people around me and contributing positively to their lives at the same time.
Great. So what advice would you give today for those that want to start that business like you did in 82 and that, In for people that aren't familiar with Ann Arbor or aren't familiar with everything, it's like it is a small building on the corner, and you really have turned this into an enterprise, honestly, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's been pretty incredible. So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who might have that dream or really have a passion for something that they want to do?
Well, the whole idea behind the business books was really to be able to answer that question in a coherent and extensive way, because the reality is, although many people are sort of looking for that one thing, I don't think there actually is one thing. And I think the search for the most important thing is, you know, causes a lot of problems because life and nature are complex and imperfect. So the first book is really, to your point, is about building a great business. So it's got a lot of essays on our visioning process, which is definitely something I would recommend highly, about positive culture building, which you've already referenced, to systems, which you've referenced, mission statements, and really our approaches to all of that sort of organizational structural stuff. Part two is about how to be a better leader. So it talks about our approach to servant leadership, to the energy management stuff, which I referenced, which we probably started to work with here mindfully like 6-7 years ago. And it's been a huge, huge positive improvement for what was already a good organization. Part three, as I said, is on managing ourselves, which is really in the end of the day where we need to start all of it, because if I can't manage myself, the rest of it is doomed to failure. And then part four, like I said, is coming out about beliefs. So I, without being flip, I mean, there's really a lot in there. The visioning is a huge piece, but of course, if you have a really inspiring vision, but you can't manage yourself well, you're not going to get there either. So,
great. So tell us some current things that you're working on. I know you just referenced the book, but maybe some other fun things that are going on in some of those different businesses that you have. And then I want you to end with, where can people find you, both physically and then online?
Sure. So, the book is books. If you haven't written one, take a lot of time. So we're into the proofing stage, and we hope to have it out by the end of May. So that's exciting. More exciting or different, I guess, is just we in February just formally rolled out our employee ownership program, which we've been working on designing for about 6 years. This is the second phase of it, and we have one more to figure out still. But that went fabulously well. We targeted to have 200 employee owners out of 400 that were eligible according to the program, and we got 204, and that's very exciting. I mean, we've been working on it formally for 6 years and in conversation for about 10, so that's pretty cool. We're starting to work on the next phase now. So also later this year, we're going to open a Korean restaurant. So that's pretty exciting. And then you mentioned Cornman Farms. So we have really amazing event space for weddings and corporate events out in Dexter, which is 10 minutes west of town. And it's an 1834 farmhouse and an 1837 barn, which we completely renovated. And then we do weddings out there. So, I mean, or corporate events, or, you know, University of Michigan Business School is out, brings the executive MBAs, and they do cooking, you know, in the evening as a group activity, that sort of stuff. So it's pretty amazing, because people can literally have, you know, in the summer months, you know, stuff picked from the gardens at the farm, and then could be on their table in the salad, you know, 2 hours later. So it's a pretty majestic spot.
I've seen it. It's beautiful. So great. Now, where can people find you? So online and off.
Well, personally, if they want to email me questions or whatever, that's fine. It's ari@zingermans.com. The mail order, if they want to ship food, which we totally love, is zingermans.com. And then the training seminars and the books are zingtrain.com. We're sort of off of Amazon with the books. We went back to, we do all the design. We print them here in Ann Arbor. And we like to have a relationship with the people that we're selling them to. So zingtrain.com will have all of that.
Great. And of course, all of your different facilities, like you mentioned, are right in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yep. Absolutely. Everything's about 15 minutes from each other, which I like, because I get to move back and forth between all of them.
That's great. Well, it has been absolutely a pleasure having this time with you today. And I want to thank you for that. And thank you so much for being part of our show.
Well, thank you for doing what you do.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.